Imagine waking up to find $85 billion in market value just wiped out, like before you even finish your morning coffee.
Yeah, just completely vanished.
Right. And while you were sleeping, an artificial intelligence began actively mutating its own source code to hijack local networks. Plus, a massive video game publisher just fired half its testing workforce to replace them with algorithms. Oh, and literal server farms are being prepped for launch into low Earth orbit.
Just to keep things cool.
Exactly, just to cool the processors making all of this happen. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are opening up the Tech in Morning 2026 Tech Revolution Intelligence Report, dated May 8th, 2026.
It is quite the document.
It really is. Our mission today is to sift through the raw data of what is easily one of the most explosive, reality-altering mornings in the history of the tech sector and, pull out the implications that actually matter to you.
Yeah, because when you look at the sheer density of this morning's intelligence report, the overarching theme becomes, well, it's impossible to ignore. We have moved entirely past the era of incremental tech updates.
No more minor bug fixes.
Exactly. What we are analyzing today is a radical daily disruption. Artificial intelligence, corporate warfare, and human psychology are violently colliding right now. The underlying architecture of the digital economy isn't just shifting, it is being aggressively rewritten from the ground up across multiple sectors simultaneously.
Okay, let's unpack this because I think the best place to start is with the physical hardware, the actual gateway we use to access these environments.
The VR space.
Right. We have a massive shockwave here in the virtual reality space. So, Valve, the company behind the Steam platform, they bypassed the usual tech hype cycle entirely.
No press conferences, no teaser campaigns, nothing.
None of it. They simply dropped a brand new standalone VR headset called Deckard onto the market. Zero warning.
A zero-day hardware drop of this magnitude is it's a calculated disruption of the entire consumer electronics PR playbook.
Oh, absolutely. And the specs are wild. It's running a custom AMD chip designed to natively handle PC VR games completely wirelessly.
Which is huge.
Yeah, at 2160 by 2160 resolution per eye. And the price point is aggressively set between $599 and $699.
Right, and that consumer sweet spot.
Exactly. And the moment that listing went live, Meta's stock went into free fall. It erased $85 billion in market cap instantly. But I have to push back on Wall Street's reaction here.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, Meta has sunk over $50 billion into Reality Labs since 2019. They essentially created and completely monopolized the current standalone VR market. Is an $85 billion haircut a massive overreaction just because Valve dropped a headset with a bigger legacy PC game library?
Well, see, Wall Street is pricing in a structural collapse of a business philosophy. It's not just a reaction to a superior hardware spec sheet.
Okay, what do you mean by business philosophy?
Meta's $50 billion investment was spent building a classic walled garden. They subsidize hardware to lock users into a closed ecosystem where they control the app store, the social graph, and the telemetry data.
Right, you buy a Quest, you stay in the Quest ecosystem.
Exactly. Valve's philosophy is the exact opposite. Steam is an open platform. You aren't locked into a proprietary storefront. You can sideload applications, run custom mods, use competing software. Valve's Steam library has roughly 8,500 titles. Meta's Quest library has about 1,200.
That is a staggering difference.
It is. But the real vulnerability Wall Street identified is the trust deficit. The intelligence report highlights a devastating metric. 73% of current VR enthusiasts indicated they would abandon Meta's hardware for a Valve alternative, specifically due to Meta's historical privacy controversies.
Wow, 73%.
Yeah. A walled garden only functions if the walls are high and the users actually want to stay inside.
Right. And if the users are looking for the first available exit, that $50 billion moat suddenly looks like a huge liability, which perfectly contextualizes Meta's very next move in this report.
The pivot.
Exactly. If they are bleeding out in the physical hardware space, they are aggressively pivoting to extract maximum value from software and, well, human attention. Meta quietly launched a beta for a platform called Infinity Feed.
Yeah, positioning it as a direct structural competitor to TikTok. But utilizing a fundamentally different content generation mechanism.
That's putting it mildly. The videos on Infinity Feed do not exist until the second you swipe to them.
Which is just wild to think about.
It really is. They are 100% AI generated in real time, taking roughly 0.8 to 1.2 seconds to render via their movie gen AI.
Right.
But the underlying mechanism is what's truly unsettling. The platform utilizes your device's front-facing camera to run continuous biometric telemetry.
It's watching you watch the feed.
Exactly. It maps your micro-expressions. It analyzes subtle shifts in your skin tone to calculate heart rate variability. It even measures millisecond-level pause times. And then it feeds that real-time biological data back into the AI to instantly generate a custom video explicitly engineered to spike your dopamine levels.
It operates as a closed-loop algorithmic feedback system. It is basically high-frequency trading. But the asset being aggressively traded and optimized is the user's neurochemistry.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's a literal dopamine slot machine that prints a custom jackpot every time you pull the lever. Beta users are currently averaging 3.5 hours a day trapped in this loop.
3.5 hours?
Yeah. So, I mean, are we crossing the line from content delivery to psychological hacking? And where does the human creator even fit into an ecosystem where the content is disposable and generated on the fly?
Well, the human creator is effectively abstracted completely out of the supply chain. And this specific mechanism is exactly why regulators across the European Union and the United States are initiating emergency inquiries right now.
The ethical implications are massive.
They are. The intelligence report outlines the polarizing ethical divide here. On one side, Meta's official stance frames this as the ultimate democratization of media. They argue it removes human gatekeepers and algorithmic guesswork by providing a mathematically perfect, individualized entertainment feed.
But the clinical perspective is heavily raising red flags, right?
Heavily. Neuroscientists and ethicists point out that bypassing conscious choice to directly target biometric vulnerabilities eliminates informed consent.
Because you don't even know what your heart rate is doing.
Exactly. If the system detects that a specific audio frequency paired with a certain visual color palette accelerates your heart rate and retains your visual focus, it ruthlessly optimizes for that exact physiological response. The warnings outlined in the brief include severe reality distortion, circadian rhythm disruption, and the sheer psychological toll on vulnerable demographics.
Who probably have no idea that the algorithm isn't just serving them video, it's actively consuming their biometric reactions to refine its own hook. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Software isn't just abstracting the human content creator out of our social feeds. It is now actively liquidating the human workforce that builds our digital environments in the first place.
The Ubisoft situation.
Yes. This morning, Ubisoft fired 1,200 quality assurance testers. That is a 50% reduction of their global QA testing team in a single morning.
Replaced immediately by a localized cluster of AI testing agents.
Right. And these AI agents are spinning up instances of games 24 hours a day. They simulate everything from casual playthroughs to frame-perfect speedruns. The report notes that in just 72 hours, this AI network identified 847 critical collision and logic bugs in Assassin's Creed Shadows.
That's a massive amount of bug catching.
It is. And Ubisoft projects an $85 million annual operational savings from this, but it has triggered an immediate massive global developer strike under the hashtag SaveQAJobs. So looking purely at the mechanics here, sure, an AI can obviously run a digital avatar into a virtual wall 10,000 times a second to find a clipping error faster than a human.
Right.
But QA isn't just about finding broken code. Can an AI tester tell a developer if a game's core gameplay loop is actually fun or if a narrative beat is emotionally resonant?
And that is the exact friction point between mechanical scale and subjective cultural assessment. At a purely structural level, the AI cluster is highly efficient. It maps multivariable edge cases that a human team might take months to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
And we should note, Ubisoft's CEO, Yves Guillemot, is defending the workforce reduction as a harsh economic necessity. He argues it's required to remain solvent in an increasingly bloated development market.
But prioritizing algorithmic testing fundamentally changes what gets built, doesn't it?
That is the crucial insight. If your primary QA feedback loop is a machine that does not understand frustration, pacing, or the satisfaction of overcoming an unfair difficulty spike, the development pipeline shifts.
Developers will start designing for the bots.
Exactly. Studios risk designing games specifically to be easily parsed and verified by their AI testing agents rather than optimizing for human enjoyment. The final product might ship technically flawless, with zero frame rate drops or logic bugs, but feel entirely sterile because the creative intuition of a human tester was sacrificed for mechanical efficiency.
And that desperate leap toward mechanical efficiency and rapid cost cutting, it isn't happening in a vacuum. It's a massive distress flare. Ubisoft isn't just facing an internal labor crisis today. They have attracted an apex predator in the corporate space.
The market consolidation phase is definitely accelerating.
Absolutely. Electronic Arts just launched a $12 billion hostile takeover bid for Ubisoft. That represents a massive 35% premium on their current valuation.
EA sees blood in the water.
Yeah, it's like a wounded gazelle on the savannah, and EA is the lion that completely skipped the diplomatic negotiations. EA is going after the underlying crown jewels here, the Assassin's Creed universe, Far Cry, and the highly lucrative Rainbow Six Siege player base.
And Ubisoft is in a highly vulnerable position right now.
Very vulnerable. They're carrying $2.8 billion in debt, suffering through multi-year game delays, and absorbing catastrophic losses from projects like Skull and Bones. It's a leveraged tech bubble popping, leaving prime intellectual real estate available for pennies on the dollar.
Yep.
The report gives this a 60% probability of success. If EA pulls this off, doesn't this create a near monopoly on Western AAA publishing?
It would certainly establish a portfolio of unprecedented scale. They would effectively dominate the sports, shooter, and open world action genres. The synergy modeling EA is utilizing here goes far beyond simply acquiring studios.
What are they looking at?
They're looking at cross-pollinating massive global audiences. You would absolutely see Assassin's Creed characters monetized as premium assets inside of FIFA, and the consolidation of their respective digital storefronts into a single, inescapable subscription ecosystem.
Okay, but if Ubisoft is heavily leveraged with debt and the premium is that high, why is the success probability capped at 60%? What's the friction?
The primary roadblocks are geopolitical and structural, not financial. Ubisoft is fundamentally viewed as a national tech champion in France. You will see immediate aggressive pushback from the French government, invoking protectionist policies to prevent an American conglomerate from swallowing a major cultural exporter.
Ah, right. Politics.
Yes. Furthermore, the Guillemot family, who founded Ubisoft, maintain a complex voting bloc designed specifically to repel hostile takeovers. Finally, by putting a $12 billion floor on Ubisoft's valuation, EA may have inadvertently triggered a global bidding war.
Oh, because other companies know what it's worth now.
Right. Tencent already holds a strategic stake in Ubisoft and possesses the capital to initiate a massive counteroffer just to keep those IP assets out of EA's hands.
So while EA is attempting to buy market dominance through mega mergers, Microsoft is executing a completely different strategy. They don't just want to own the games. They are fundamentally restructuring how you pay for access to these digital worlds altogether. Microsoft just announced Xbox Game Pass free.
Effectively dismantling the traditional premium console economic model.
Yeah, they are dropping the paywall entirely. You get access to the entire Xbox library for $0. But, and here's the massive catch, you have to opt in to their adaptive ad technology.
Which is not your standard banner ad.
Not at all. We are talking about the system dynamically injecting real-world Coke or Nike billboards into the textures of a racing game, or streaming dynamically generated audio commercials through an in-game car radio.
It's embedded directly into the environment.
Exactly. And it is engineered to plug the $1 to $2 billion annual leak in their current Game Pass model. They could potentially convert that into $60 to $100 million a month in pure ad revenue. But looking at this from the user's perspective, is this the death of escapism?
It's a valid concern.
Like, if you are 80 hours deep into a heavily immersive fantasy RPG, the last thing you want is the immersion shattered by a McDonald's ad on a tavern wall. Will developers be commercially pressured to design ad-friendly modern settings just to appease Microsoft's revenue models?
If you look closely at historical software monetization, particularly mobile gaming, this is an inevitable market fracture. The sheer cost of AAA development necessitates broader audience capture. Microsoft understands that dropping the financial barrier to entry exponentially expands their global footprint.
But the creative cost.
Right. The integration of adaptive ad technology, which uses machine learning to find contextual insertion points, will absolutely dictate creative direction. The financial incentive for developers will heavily skew toward creating modern, urban, or sports-based environments where dynamic advertising feels native.
leaving the heavily immersive, ad-free fantasy stuff for a different tier of consumer entirely.
Exactly. The market fracture the intelligence report predicts. The industry will bifurcate. You will have a massive, ad-supported, highly monetized tier of casual gaming for the masses, where the gameplay is constantly negotiated against brand visibility.
And on the other end.
You'll see highly expensive, premium, hermetically sealed experiences for purists. The era of the standard $70 blockbuster is fragmenting into the free with interruptions model versus the $100 pristine environment model.
Okay, let's connect some of these underlying technical realities. Because our game engines are opening up massive network ports to constantly stream dynamic ad textures, our social feeds are constantly pinging servers with our real-time biometric telemetry. Our headsets are pushing wireless data at unprecedented resolutions.
The attack surface is huge.
Huge. The sheer surface area for a cyber attack has never been larger. Which brings us to a terrifying new security disruption detailed in the report.
The foundational architecture of cybersecurity is being forced into a paradigm shift.
Because cybersecurity researchers just discovered a new strain of AI-driven malware designated Hydra, a single deployment license is trading on dark web exchanges for $50,000, and it has already caused $180 million in quantifiable corporate infrastructure damage.
The mechanism here is what's truly alarming.
Yes. Hydra isn't pinging a remote command server. It carries a localized, offline large language model that actively rewrites its own source code every 1 to 5 milliseconds.
Every few milliseconds, it's a new program.
It dynamically shifts its programming syntax, jumping from C++ to Rust to Go. It continuously obfuscates its variable names and logic structures. It completely and effortlessly bypasses all legacy antivirus software. So, what does this all mean? It's like a burglar who dynamically changes their fingerprints, face, and DNA every single time they take a step inside your house.
And that rapid localized mutation completely breaks traditional endpoint security. Legacy antivirus operates on heuristic signatures, meaning it scans a file looking for a known sequence of malicious code. But when an onboard offline LLM is rewriting the executable file every few milliseconds, there is no static signature to match.
Because the file presents as entirely novel during every single system scan.
Precisely, it's a ghost.
So, if the malware has no fixed identity and constantly changes its footprint, how do network administrators actually stop it from, encrypting a system?
You completely abandon the concept of verifying identity. You have to transition entirely to behavioral analysis through zero trust network architecture. You look at what a program is doing rather than who it claims to be.
Okay, so focusing on actions.
Right. It does not matter what the code looks like, what language it is written in, or what digital certificate it is spoofing. The system monitors the execution behavior. If an unknown, newly compiled process suddenly attempts to inject code into the system registry or open an unauthorized outbound port, the system terminates the process based purely on the malicious action.
But that sounds incredibly demanding on the hardware.
It is a grueling, computationally expensive war of attrition. You have an autonomous AI constantly mutating to find a blind spot, fighting a defensive AI constantly analyzing behavior to shut it down.
And that phrase right there, computationally expensive, is the physical bottleneck for everything we have discussed today. To run Hydra's mutating local LLMs, to render Meta's real-time Infinity Feed videos in under a second, to power Ubisoft's thousands of simulated AI testers. It requires an unfathomable amount of raw computing power.
Unfathomable.
And Earth is rapidly running out of physical real estate for these data centers. More critically, the terrestrial power grid is running out of capacity to cool them. So, Amazon's solution, look up.
By heavily investing in orbital infrastructure.
Yes. Amazon officially announced Orbital AWS, partnering with Blue Origin, and operating under the rather ominous internal moniker Project Skynet.
Quite the choice of name.
Seriously, they are looking to launch 15 heavy-duty satellite data centers directly into low Earth orbit by 2028. The engineering logic here is that they can utilize the ambient vacuum of space, which sits at roughly minus 270 degrees Celsius, for free, infinite server cooling.
While simultaneously utilizing unbroken solar exposure above the cloud line to power the arrays 24/7.
But look at the physics of data transmission here. A signal has to travel 550 kilometers up to the satellite array, process the data, and travel 550 kilometers back down. That introduces a hard physical latency floor of roughly 7 milliseconds.
Which is an eternity in tech terms.
Right. I mean, a 7 millisecond delay might be fine for an email, but wouldn't that completely ruin the real-time gaming ad injections or high-frequency trading we just talked about?
You are exactly right. The physics of signal degradation make Orbital AWS an absolute non-starter for anything requiring real-time synchronous communication. You cannot host competitive multiplayer game servers, high-frequency financial trading algorithms, or live web hosting in orbit. The latency renders the user experience completely broken.
So why are they spending billions of dollars to put servers in a place where the latency makes them useless for real-time web traffic?
Because Amazon isn't launching web servers. They are launching an AI forge.
An AI forge?
Yeah. The single most power-intensive and heat-generating process in the modern tech economy is AI model training. When you are training a massive large language model with trillions of parameters, feeding it petabytes of data to build its neural weights, you do not need real-time millisecond responses.
Oh, because it's an asynchronous batch process.
Exactly. You upload the massive data set to the orbital array, let the servers crunch the mathematics for weeks at maximal capacity using infinite solar power and free spatial cooling, and then you beam the compiled finished model back down to terrestrial data centers for consumer use.
It's brilliant.
It is a massive, long-term hedge against terrestrial energy crises. When local power grids start capping commercial energy usage, the entity that can offload its heaviest computational burdens into the vacuum of space holds an insurmountable infrastructure advantage.
Wow. For you listening right now, taking all this in, just consider the sheer velocity of the systems we just walked through. In a single intelligence brief, we've gone from valve-dropping surprise hardware that destabilizes a $50 billion corporate moat, to EA attempting a hostile takeover of a struggling publisher, to AI actively replacing human testers, to data centers literally floating in low Earth orbit.
It is a profound convergence. We are watching the boundaries dissolve. The rigid line between physical hardware dominance and software agility is disappearing.
Yeah.
The barrier between human creativity and algorithmic generation is vanishing inside QA departments and personalized social feeds. The distinction between immersive escapism and aggressive monetization is collapsing. And the physical boundary between terrestrial limits and orbital expansion is actively being bridged.
Just to sustain the sheer computing demands of this new architecture, it really makes you wonder what happens when these isolated technological leaps inevitably find each other. So as you go about your human terrestrial day, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
If an AI algorithm can perfectly map our biometrics to hijack our dopamine in real time, and AI malware can dynamically mutate its own architecture every millisecond to remain undetected, and AI agents can autonomously build and test digital environments with zero human input, well, how long is it before an AI system decides to merge all of these capabilities?
That is the terrifying question.
Right. Like, how long until an AI independently generates an infinitely addictive, perfectly targeted, ad-supported virtual reality loop hosted on an unreachable satellite server in space, functioning completely autonomously with absolutely no human intervention at all?
The architecture for that reality is already being deployed.
And that's what makes this morning's report so historic. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Tekken Report. We'll be here next time to unpack whatever tomorrow brings.